Here will come Blake Bortles. You will hear the crowd. You hear them already. It's a standing ovation, folks. It's a standing ovation. Listen to the crowd. I'll let them tell you. Shotgun formation for Bortles and the Jag. They blitz. It's an all-out blitz. Pump fake. Lots of time. Now he fires. Complete to Allen Robinson. Robinson gets away. To the 35, to the 40. Past the 45-yard line. All the way out to the 47-yard line. Something special happening. Rookie to rookie. All the way to the 47. That's 22 yards and a first down. Bortles takes. Play fake this time. Oh, they're going to get him. He got away from the blitz. Look at this. And now he's going to throw it down the field for Will Toffolo. And it's caught. It is caught by Will Toffolo all the way out to the 46-yard line. By all rights, they had it dead to right. Bortles spun away from it, and a 25-yard gain to his fullback. Empty backfield now for Blake Bortles. Two receivers to either side, plus a tight end. Straight drop, fires to the middle of the field. That's Hearns. He makes a catch in the Colts territory. Still on his feet. Allen Hearns is loose. Allen Hearns is inside the 20-yard line. He got away. Allen Hearns is going to score a touchdown for the Jaguars. He broke a few tackles and got it to the end zone. How do you like that?
He'll get the opportunity next week again. Now, like we said, I think it's time to start building Blake's body of work on the field.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and Ryan O'Halloran.
Hey, good morning, good morning. Welcome in. We are the show that takes Everbank on the road with us. What is that, the new JT right off the bat? Oh, my God.
Every break today.
No, wait a minute. Tony, who runs this program around here?
Not O'Halloran.
Right, I don't know who does, honestly, but is it O'Halloran? Maybe it is one day a week. Ryan O'Halloran runs the ship around
here. It's a request.
I understand.
And Beef met it.
Tyler would have, but apparently he was experiencing some gastrointestinal distress, at least according to Beef. He's probably just doing some show prep, but Beef will throw you under the bus.
Yes, he will.
In a heartbeat, and we will repeat that on the air live. How you doing, everybody? Welcome to the Players' Championship. Cut it out. Stop it. You know Beef's still in there because he's got that. That's like button one on his go-to playlist right there. Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union here with us. Mike Dempsey and Pat Tony here.
Such a child
with you.
Laughing.
It's a high-class show. It's a high-class. Hey, look, it's funny. I can't tell you. It's not funny. Ernie Else, what's not funny? Ernie Else is the Big Easy, is easily ripping through the back nine where he started this morning. He's already 5 under par through his first 8 holes. On the day, he is your leader at the 2016 Players Championship. Cameron Tringali and Hudson Swafford each a shot off the pace, and a big group at minus 3 that includes Jason Day tied for 4th. He birdied his first 3 holes of the day. We're going to talk Jags today at 641-1010 if you want to get on board. That's also the text line, which is driven by Duval Ford, and we'll keep you posted on everything, all the major happenings out here at the Players Championship. O'Halloran, I missed you last week. I came down with a little, I don't know how you guys do it, man, all that travel. Are you an airborne guy? Do you load yourself up with airborne or something like that? Because I'm telling you, I cannot travel without catching something from somebody. And those tin cans, those flying tin can of germs.
Yeah, that's weird because, like, you flew on, what, Sunday?
I flew on Sunday, yeah. Really started to get it around Tuesday. And then by Thursday, it had peaked, I think, last week.
I mean, when you fly a lot, you sort of become a little immune to it. But, I mean, it happens once or twice a year where, you know, the combination of a 4 a.m. wake-up call and, going through Atlanta, which is just a cesspool on a Monday.
And, well, that's true. And that's what I did. I went through Atlanta coming back. Went back on a Sunday, but it's a cesspool nonetheless. And maybe it had something to do with not getting to bed until about 4 a.m. every night, Tony.
That probably doesn't help.
I could have factored into
the whole. Being a man of your age.
Well, look, I feel it. Trust me. I'm 47 going on 80, all right, is what I am right now. Today we're going to talk about, surprisingly, Telvin Smith joining Allen Hearns in the top 100 list last night as ranked by the players in the National Football League, voted on, Ryan, as we were discussing before the show, in early December. So you don't know what's going to catch these guys' eye. And look, Tony and I said it yesterday. I think Telvin's an emerging player. We don't think he's one of the 100 best players in the National Football League yet. It's good for conversation. It's good, I think, for the Jags to start to get some recognition, even if it's a little premature or not. It doesn't hurt anything to have Allen Hurns and Telvin Smith get this kind of recognition. I'm just surprised, particularly in Telvin's case, that it's come this soon.
Yeah, I mean, it's a conversation, you know, like for the viewer or for the listeners, excuse me, is they do this in December before the season's over, and all those interviews you see, it's, you know, at Everbanks right across the hall when NFL film set up. But when you have over 100 tackles, when players are getting ready to vote and they look at the tackle chart, they go, okay, him, and him. So that helps. You know, he had an interception. So you can't say, well, a guy saw him play on Monday Night Football. So, you know, he made a lot of tackles. Guys look at the statistics. You know, and Hurns is less surprising because he has the breakout year,
right?
Well, which sets the table because then guys know him.
Led the league in receiving, led the team in receiving his first year.
Yeah.
And then last year we were looking at it, you know, there were about 21 wide receivers that had more yards than him, but only 6 wide receivers that had more than his 10 touchdown
catches. That's the big thing.
Yeah, and you combine those together, and he had that streak of 7 games in a row. So, again, not shocking. I think you're still going to see Allen Robinson to come in this top 100 list, and I think you could see Malik Jackson. And that will be a little bit dependent on how aware the players were, because he really rose to prominence in the postseason mm-hmm. this year, and you can't factor that into the voting.
No, and, you know, defensive tackles, it's he hadn't been to a Pro Bowl, so that but I'd be surprised if he's in there at all.
At this point, he might not be.
Yeah, I mean, because remember, Senderek had that big year. Even last year, he was probably in the 90s.
I think it was like 86.
Yeah,
something like that, right.
You know, this is a...
And that was an 8.5 sack season.
Yeah.
So.
So, I mean, you know, Malik probably got lost in the shuffle because there's probably going to be a couple Denver guys higher up on defense.
Right. And the interesting thing to me,
plus,
Tony,
the voting was in December, and we talked about, look, he really came on the scene during that playoff run for Denver.
Right. It at least got that kind of recognition that this guy was going to be maybe the top free agent on the market this year. We went through, knowing that there were 15 quarterbacks in the top 100, we try to figure out what were the odds that Blake Bortles could get in there when Derek Carr and Andrew Luck had already been announced. With 13 to go, Tony and I came up with a pile of about 11 or 12 guys that we felt very solidly that we thought would be in ahead of Bortles, and another half dozen that had a decent chance, or at least on par, in the public consciousness. Among those in the second pile, I think we had Alex Smith and Kirk Cousins, who both made it in, so that's taken more spots away. I don't think Bortles, you know, I think dangle the carrot out there that maybe his receivers are top 100 guys this year. I don't think he is deserving of a spot yet in the top 100, but the fact that he's in the conversation of could he be is a good sign.
Yeah, and when you throw 35 touchdowns in this league, it doesn't matter if you're 5-11 or 11-5. That's a lot of touchdowns, and that gets people's attention. You know, and like I'm sure you guys have done it since the draft, I probably done 2 radio interviews a day around the country about the draft, Jaguars, et cetera. And the question they always get is, can he match those touchdowns? And I have to tell them, you don't want him to match 35
right.
touchdowns. What you want him to do is go for 27 and 11.
Right. 30
cut
and
those
10,
interceptions.
30 and whatever. Something,
yeah.
Right. Exactly. If you can cut the interceptions nearly in half, you'll take even a 10-spot touchdown drop if you're getting it in the running game. And your defense is playing, you know, better, and you don't have to throw in as many fourth quarters.
And complete 65% of your passes.
Yeah, complete your, you know, raise your completion percentage, all those things. There are a lot of indicators that could tell us that Blake Bortles is improving, even though some of the raw numbers may come down. So the question of the day today, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, is which returning Jaguar, and in my mind that doesn't include Dante Fowler Jr., because he didn't play, but if you want to be cute and vote for him, nobody can stop you, really, unless the Twitter police get after you, and I'm not a member, only on occasion. But today, we want to know which returning Jaguar makes the biggest step forward in his on-field play in 2016. Blake Bortles, Telvin Smith, Allen Hurns, all these guys are candidates. Maybe it's somebody you think has gotten off to a slow start in his career. Maybe you think it's a guy like Jonathan Cyprian, asked now to play more towards the line of scrimmage consistently. Maybe he'll be better suited for that role this year. Maybe it'll be Luke Jokel in some of your eyes as well. So we'll go through, as things sit now, with most of the offseason heavy lifting done. Bjorn Werner coming in from the Indianapolis Colts, formerly the Indianapolis Colts, formerly a first-round draft pick out of Florida State University, who's been nothing but a bust so far in the NFL. But, Ryan, really no risk to this addition.
No. I mean, he was out there a long time. I mean, he got cut March 8th, and you didn't see his name connected with a visit or somebody saying, oh, maybe we take a chance on him. So mean, from a Jaguars perspective, it's a no-risk money-wise, and it's a no-risk. He's not going to be taking a bunch of snaps from people. You know, if he can come in and have a great preseason, you know, can he be a weak side defensive end, Leo, for like third down rotation? He has some linebacker traits that they said he played in Indianapolis not well, but could he be a utility player there? So one thing you know is when the Jags sign a guy like this, he's going to get a chance to prove that he either belongs here or doesn't. So it's another interesting storyline, and there are many for when the pads go on.
Getting to be pretty loaded at the defensive line, on the defensive line in that group, right, and really the front seven. I think there are going to be some difficult decisions, maybe the hardest ones, hopefully, that they've had to make since this regime's taken over in terms of cuts.
Yeah, without question. And it's, you know, you get into this roster math of, you know, let's say you keep 25 on defense, you keep 10 linemen, 8 will be active on Sundays. Okay, that 9th and 10th guy, is that a veteran, or do you want to keep a younger guy to start developing them? So that's where like a Tyrone Holmes comes in, the 6th-round pick. Is he a linebacker, or is he a defensive
right.
end? And, okay, how does that affect the numbers? So this camp, more than any others, like, you know, going into the last couple, at least the last two camps, you say, all right, you'll probably sort of know 47, 48 of the 53. It's going to be tough for an undrafted free agent to make this team. And it's going to be, there could be some veterans who make it cut as well.
Yeah, which is good because that means the overall talent level is rising on this roster. So we will talk Jags throughout the course of the morning. We'll also talk plenty of golf as well. If you're just one of these people tuning in the show and absolutely can't stand golf, I don't know what to tell you, but we'll see you Monday, I guess. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. We're live at the Players' Championship, one of the crown jewels of the sporting calendar here in Northeast Florida, and we'll absolutely keep our eye on that. Jack O'Brien's going to have updates live from the Media Center all throughout the morning on our show and continuing into the afternoon. I know Fat Tony's going to be pulling down some of that duty today from 1 o'clock until basically whenever round one ends tonight, Tony.
Yep.
Put it this way. It's going to end on time. The weather's perfect. We're not getting any
yes.
kind of weather delays out here today. I think you're better off being in the afternoon flight today if this wind stays down, because there's always that chance it picks up tomorrow, and you could have some lightning moving into the area for the afternoon session tomorrow, and where that may soften the greens, you're going to have some interruption in play, maybe get some guys out of rhythm. I think I'd rather go out in the afternoon today. Not that you have a choice. It's luck of the draw.
Well,
but
yeah.
My official, I had my three picks yesterday, Spieth, Garcia, and Kevin Na. I officially picked Kevin Na in my fantasy league this week, so he's my official singular pick
okay.
to win the tournament. Do you have who's one guy you want to narrow it down
the
to?
The one guy was Adam Scott.
Adam Scott is your guy. Okay, there you go. And O'Halloran told me Jack Nicklaus is where he was leaning earlier, but he wasn't sure if Tom Watson had a run in him. So if you want to offer up a pick, you're welcome to.
I liked what I was reading from Jason Day earlier this week. He basically said, I haven't been very good on this course, so I got to figure it out, and I think I've found some things. So I think he's off to a pretty good start today.
You're right, he is. Birdied the first three holes without.
I think Ryan O'Halloran heard us say he went birdie, birdie, birdie.
Hey,
one,
you know
two,
what?
Three.
He did, but you know all that gets him right now is a tie for six. We'll get you a complete leaderboard update. Two tied now at the top of the leaderboard. As we said, Jack O'Brien will have those updates live from the Media Center all throughout the broadcast, and listen for Fat Tony's updates throughout the course of the afternoon. Midday Chalk will be live out here. Frank Frangie and company will be live out here. 1010XL on the scene at the Players' Championship. Talking Jags with you. 641-1010 is the number. It's also the text line driven by Duval Ford. If you want to get in on social media and vote on the question of the day, which Jaguar will take the biggest step up in his on-field play this year? The way to do that, tweet us at MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL Fat Tony, or jump on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. With the aforementioned Ryan O'Halloran and Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. Live at the Players, it's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The 24th pick in the 2013 NFL Draft, the Indianapolis Colts select Bjorn Werner, defensive end, Florida State.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Hey, don't expect Roger Goodell to get it right. He's only the commissioner of the league. Bjorn Werner.
Werner, I like it, Werner, Tyler. Werner. Tyler's even playing like some German metal in the background for Werner.
He knows what he's doing.
It's Ramstein.
Marcus Mariota. Duhas. Is that who this is?
Duhas Nash.
I took German for 2 years. I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
One of the best lines I've ever heard in an NFL press room is when it was before I started covering the team. Marty Schottenheimer was just fibbing about something, and a reporter goes, Schottenheimer is German for lie.
for a lie.
Hey, thanks, Tyler.
All right. What does Chris Reimer signal?
He's saying he's going to be over here in 10 minutes.
I thought he said he's going to bring me a foot-long sub. That looked like he was saying
like
foot-long sub.
Inch.
I wasn't sure.
10-inch sub.
Oh, is 10-inch? All right.
A
whatever.
Dandy
sub? You know what?
Dandy, no?
It could be if they know what they're doing out here, and they usually do at the Players' Championship. It should be a delicious dandy sandwich or sub, or
see,
maybe one
Joe
of the new
Cowart
fresh
in the reflection over there?
Cowart's, oh, they're all around. They're all, we saw Jordan DeArmond walking in. They're all lingering around the 1010XL crew out here at the Players' Championship, where Ernie Els shares the lead, at least he did a moment ago, with Francesco Molinari at the top of the board at 5-under par. Ernie going off the back nine this morning. So if you're just coming out now, if you're parking and listening to Jaguars today, you can catch Ernie making that turn momentarily. In fact, he just did make the turn, completing his front nine in 5-under par 31. Molinari's through 12 holes out a little bit ahead of the field. A bunch of guys going low. Not a surprise with the conditions out here.
No, and how about the last alternate to get in the field, Aaron Baddeley at 4-under making the turn as well today. So
which,
obviously,
by the way,
scoring conditions really good this morning. Yeah, Tyler.
Aaron Baddeley replaced, who was it? There was like Webb Simpson dropped out because he
had
a kid.
Yeah.
So he was the last guy into the field.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
That's what
pretty
you
much
just
what
said.
You just said, Tyler. Thank you.
Listening is
Tyler's doing his hacker imitation.
Let me jump in. They just mentioned Baddeley. I've got a note on Baddeley. Justin Rose, by the way, Lamb picked Justin Rose to win yesterday. He's 4-under through 8. So there you have it. We'll keep our eye on the leaderboard. Going to be some low numbers, it appears, posted out there today. Apparently, the NFL Network, we're getting this heavy on the text line driven by Duval Ford.
People Ryan. Watch that show.
They do. I don't watch
it.
Unbelievable. It's
yeah.
crazy.
Unbelievable.
I mean,
it's
I'll be
such
honest
a
with you.
Terrible show.
I Googled it this morning. I said, NFL Network top 100, please, and give me the latest 10 to see who the Jaguars were that popped in there. But
well,
apparently,
I kept watching it last night if you're a Jaguars fan.
Well,
I mean, 20% of the show is going to be Jaguars.
You knew they were coming, and you want to get some love, and you haven't gotten represented on this list much at all since they instituted it. But to go along with that, we're getting a lot of people to saying that NFL Network said last night that 5 Jags made the top 100 list. So, you know, Tony and I already did this last week, but we were thinking a lot smaller potatoes, Ryan. We thought, honestly, Allen Robinson and maybe Malik Jackson, depending on how much people were aware of the kind of season Malik was having, because he had never made the top 100 before, we figured those were the two we really thought would get in there. Now we've seen Hurns and Telvin. If there are three more,
Julius, even though he didn't have a great year, he gets in on reputation. That'd be my pick.
Possibly. That's not a bad idea. Although, when you see a guy like Andrew Luck have one down year and fall 85 spots in the rankings, almost out of the top 100, you know, you wonder if these players have that perspective of, let's think back to Julius Thomas. You know, I think it may be a little bit out of sight, out of mind with him. That's still my guess. I think Chris Ivory, one of 7 guys to run for 1,000 yards, has a chance.
It's like, that's the thing. It's like, do you even count those guys? That's my thing. It's like, okay, is it really 3? Or is it, I mean, it's 5. If you're counting guys in the building, then it's 5. Yeah, you know, it could be 5. So, but if Malik Jackson's on there, does he really count?
He counts now. I mean, it's 5 guys in the bill. I mean, if you say, hey, look, out of the 100
man, we
top
took
players
credit for
the,
Julius Thomas
we'll
last
take,
year.
We'll take one out of 5 players or one out of 20 players, you know, 5 guys when the average team should end up with about 3 players on this list. It's a sign, at least, look, it doesn't mean anything important, but it may make you feel better as a Jag fan, and it's a little bit of confirmation that people around the league, players around the league, at least in this case, are seeing some of the improvements that you've seen, even if you haven't seen it in the record yet. You know Allen Robinson's making the top 100. At this point, I would bet, I guess, Ivory and Malik would be the other
Paul
two.
Paul Posluski.
No, I don't think Paul Posluski gets in there myself. But, I mean, maybe it is as simple as Blake threw 35 touchdowns last year, and people clearly looked at the stat sheet like you talked about with Telvin Smith. Maybe it's hard to ignore all the touchdowns that Blake Bortles put, and maybe we're vastly underestimating where he may fall on this list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you get on the list based on your statistics, let's face that. So that would be Blake gets up there. But that's – are we talking too much about this?
Well, I don't think so. What else are we talking about with the Jags in the month of May.
A good point here on the Duval Ford text line. The 859 says Matt Forte was represented as a Chicago Bear, not a New York Jet. So Jackson wouldn't be listed as a Jaguar if they follow the same theory, right?
Well, if that's the case, and there's three holdover Jaguars from last year, then it would almost, you would think it, it would have to be Blake
Thomas.
And Robinson for sure, and then most likely Thomas.
Thomas
could Posluszny or Posluszny, either one of them, get
think
on there?
He hadn't made the list before. I don't see how last season would get on
there.
Now.
I don't either. I just, you know, it's not like
Sergio Brown.
I don't even know if players can vote for guys on their own team. Can they in this? I don't know if they can.
I have no idea. I really don't know.
Let me ask somebody, but we'll continue that conversation.
All right, Ryan's going to get to the bottom
of it. If they got five guys that are on that list that were on this team last year, that's incredible.
Right. I mean, and look, it's great to get the respect from your peers and all that, and hopefully that they're right, you know, and that it's going to translate to a lot more wins. Again, Tony, we talked about this earlier in the week. You know, people talk, I can't see him making that leap to 10 wins. That's five more. How are they going to add five wins? I look at him as a 7-9 team last year. It's their own fault that they failed to go 7-9 or 8-8. And I think that's more reflective of what the team should have been last year. So I don't look at a jump to 10 as a five-win jump, even though in reality that's exactly what it is.
Sure, and I think the first 2 years, which Caldwell obviously has already said he doesn't hold, against
which is
Gus
still
Bradley.
The worst statement I've ever heard in my life. It's so stupid.
But he said it, and so that's the way that
people believed him.
The program's going forward. But, look, I didn't expect much out of him the first couple years. Like, four wins the first year, whatever. You know, I mean, I'm just not expecting much out of this football team for those first 2 years. I think last year the expectations should have got ramped up a little bit more than they actually did. I'm with you, Mike. They felt like a team that should have won seven or eight football games last year and won five. I mean, that's what they felt like last year while we were watching them. And for me, it does paint the expectations for what I think this team should be in 2016. Now, what they do or don't expect this team to be inside that building could be a completely different story, because it's been a different story up to this point through 3 years.
Hey, Ryan, after following a rookie, whatever you want to call it, orientation, they're on the field for a little bit, and we really couldn't watch it. But the sense you got talking with Gus Bradley and others around the organization, were there any surprises? I think they're generally, we got the sense that there were no drastically bad surprises, right? Sometimes you get a guy and you're like, wow, that's not the guy we thought we were getting. Mm-hmm. Do you think they were even more pleasantly surprised with some of the guys than they thought they would be?
Yes, because there's always a question, will these guys come in good condition? And they all did, 25 guys, draft picks, free agents, et cetera. You know, I tweeted this comment out Saturday. They got a lot of traction because it was a good comment. I ran into a Jaguar assistant after the camp on Saturday. I said, how'd it go? And he goes, first thing he said, he goes, I know it's early, but Jack and Ramsey, holy bleep.
Yeah.
And that's a good comment. So
I think so. I would agree.
One thing that impressed Gus about Jalen and Miles was how quickly they picked it up. And I thought Gus made a good point on Saturday when I asked him, which linebacker spot do you have Miles Jack learning first? And he said middle linebacker, A, because he was the only linebacker here, but also he has such a good football IQ, is they feel that he can know where everybody is, you know, because he's going to be the backup Mike, even though he's going to be starting at another position. So set the foundation of defense, and then they'll sort of branch out from there.
All right, we got to take a timeout here. If you'd like to get in, 641-1010. This one on the text line, driven by Duval Ford from Burt and Ponte Vedra, says, tell us how many players did other teams have in the top 100? I don't know. They just happened to mention last night that the Jags have five, apparently, in the top 100. In years past, I want to say, Tony, off the top of my head, around eight, maybe, you know, kind of for the super elite teams like Seattle when they're winning the Super Bowl, might have around eight players on there. So five is a significant amount. Again, 32 teams, just doing the math, everyone should have three with just the four players left over for four teams to have four guys on there if they were evenly distributed. So, you know, you got to figure teams like Cleveland don't have very many players represented. Maybe Joe Thomas and Alex Mack make the list, but there are plenty of teams out there that are a little bit more bereft of talent. You can weigh in today on which player you think will take the biggest on-field leap in their play, which returning Jaguar, someone who played for the team last year, who do you think makes the biggest leap forward in their game this year? Tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at Ryan O'Halloran, and jump on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. Jack O'Brien in the Media Center with your latest Players Championship update.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Right, somebody on the text line wanted Ryan O'Halloran to list things that actually make him happy in life. And my question would be, how do we fill the other hour and 59 minutes and 50 seconds of the program?
I can list a bunch of stuff.
This morning, JT makes him happy. Wrestling makes him happy.
Pro wrestling.
All right. Good,
pro football.
Good Broadway show makes
good
you happy.
Good Broadway musical.
Right.
Good movie.
Good movie.
Good book.
Did you see Captain America Civil War?
Not
you're not really, not your genre.
I thought it was 2 hours, 27 minutes. Does
yeah.
it go quick?
Wish it was 3 hours, 27 minutes.
That's
baby.
Right.
It's a little slow. The first 40 minutes are a little slow
okay.
as they get up to speed. Chris Reimer's here with us, head of the PGA Tour,
also,
communications department.
Also Captain America.
And Captain America. Yeah. Captain America.
Well, I guess I have to be international, though. It's kind of an international sport.
What's that?
Golf.
Golf is
yeah. captain.
I can't just be America.
Well, they play. Do they play golf in Wakanda? Would be the question, Tony.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
There was a lot of forest in the pictures we got. So.
You can play golf hey. With a rock and a stick.
I played golf out of the forest most of my
That's
life.
Right. We all learned to play there.
Kind of the way it goes. Chris Reimer's here with us. We're going to get an update on how things are going. Off to a wonderful start. Guys are going crazy low already. Four-way tie at the top of the leaderboard at 500 par. But in the meantime, we've got a caller, Jim in Ponte Vedra here. We don't think it's Furyk. But we can't be 100%
yeah,
sure.
You never know.
He could have snuck a phone into the bag. He's on the course right now, and he's even. He's got a question for Ryan O'Halloran. So, good morning, Jim. How are you?
Morning, guys. Real quick, I'm just curious. I mean, you've talked about it a lot, Mike, about everybody's fascination in, with Teddy Bridgewater, and I'm kind of like you. He's kind of like a game manager more. But what is this fascination with everybody in the NFL about how this great Brock Osweiler is going to be? Because his numbers are pretty much like Brian Hoyer's, and if I'm not correct, wasn't he replaced by a injured bad Peyton Manning because he wasn't doing well with Denver? I just don't get it. So that's why I'm wondering why he's supposedly this great franchise quarterback. Is it because of what he got paid or what?
All right. Not
entirely because of the salary. I don't hold him getting replaced by Peyton against him because they were just looking for an opening. But you look at it from Houston's perspective, they needed stability there. Is he going to be more than a game manager? I think so, but you look at Houston's team, new running back Lamar Miller, DeAndre Hopkins at receiver, he's not going to have to do everything. Is he going to be worth the $39 million? If he wins the division, he will be, but if they do run game, J.J. Watt, play action, that takes advantage of Osweiler. I applaud Houston's move because they realized it was a black hole at that position, and they paid for it.
Right. Do you, if you're Houston, do you say, well, do we draft one of the next tier quarterbacks, maybe Paxton mm-hmm. Lynch, right? That'd be our best bet. And do you like him enough? Is he ready enough right away? And then you look at what's available and what's been available in the free agent market. There's not much. They felt Osweiler, they identified as the best one. Denver wanted him back. They just wanted to lowball him a little bit on the price. He went 5-2 as a starter there. So it's not all about the stats. Look, nobody's saying here that Osweiler is some kind of mortal lock to go to
no,
the Pro Bowl this year.
It is interesting. We may have time to get into it a little bit later, but Bill Barnwell with the AFC South
yeah.
Braves, talking about Houston specifically and the idea that they went out and got Osweiler, said there does need to be a little more wariness than it seems like there is, considering Denver passed on him twice. Wants to put Peyton Manning back in the lineup when it was playoff time for that football team last year, and once when it came time for free agency, where they're looking at a roster with no quarterback, Denver was, and said, no, he's not worth $18 million
right.
to us a year. Let Houston pay that kind
right.
of money if that's what they want to do, but it's not worth it to us. So twice they passed on him, and I think there should be a little bit more wariness about that type of guy going to a new team.
Hey, he's no Blake Bortles, all right? Let's
Heck
move
no.
on. Jim, thank you for the call. Reimer. I know we talk about anybody can win this tournament because different style golfers have won this tournament, big names, small names. How much does it help you, though, to when you've got guys, especially heading into the weekend, when you've got guys potentially Justin Rose, Jason Day, those type names, Justin Rose among four, tied for the lead right now. You'll love to see some star power regardless of the course being a bit of the star.
No question. And you know, where the tour has really changed a lot is it used to be if you walked into a media center and Tiger or Phil weren't on the leaderboard, then it was a crappy leaderboard, right? So now at least you've got 15, 20 names that truly resonate with most fans. Even casual fans know Ricky, Jason, Jordan, Bubba. You know, they know these guys. So it helps. You know, it adds a little thrill going into the weekend, Friday, Saturday. But as you know, no matter what happens Sunday when the leaders come down the stretch, you're watching what happens on 16, 17, 18. So it helps with the buzz kind of leading into the weekend, but kind of doesn't matter who's in the lead, three-stroke, four-stroke lead. You want to see how they handle going through the Coliseum there at 16, 17, 18. But, yeah, it's a tournament, long hitters, short hitters, good putters, bad putters. You've seen them all win. A great example is Aaron Baddeley, who was literally the last man in field, first alternate. He should be sending the Simpson family the biggest care package he can send them because Webb Simpson's wife had a baby. He's 4-under through 10. So here's a guy that barely squeaked into the field, is one shot off the lead through the first round. He also has the worst record on 17 of any player, more balls in the water than any player. I'm not sure what he did going through there. We'll have to take a look and see how he played it today.
41 guys under par right now. When you get to the course this morning and you look and felt the weather and stuff, do you know right away it's going to be a good scoring day?
Yeah, I think two things really protect this course for the most part. It's wind, which there isn't any today. Mm-hmm. If you're sitting down here, you feel how sticky it is, and when you're out there, the wind's not blowing. The other thing that protects the course is a really hot, dry spring, right? And it hasn't been necessarily overly wet, but also the temperatures have been pretty mild through March and April and here into May a little bit. So the course is, you know, the greens are fast, but it's not, you know, parking lot. You're not putting on the parking lot out here. So it is a course where you can score, but it's also a course that tends to even itself out. And when we get into Sunday, I'd be surprised if it's more than 10 to 12 under that wins the tournament, which is, people always act like the course isn't hard if 200 doesn't win. I think 10 under is right the score that you want. You want some birdies. You want guys who hit good shots to be rewarded. You want guys who hit bad shots to be penalized. So I think it's right kind of where they want it to be. You'll have a big score here probably. You'll probably get a 6-7. 8 under today, but nobody sustains that through the course of four rounds. Roberto Castro went out in 63 a couple years ago, I think is the course record, and finished, I think, top 15. You know, so
right.
To have four rounds like that on this course is pretty rare. I don't think you're going to get Greg Norman 24 under this week.
Baddeley hit it to 10 feet on 17.
There you go.
Jacked it 4 feet past the cup, but he made the comeback.
All right.
He stuck in with his
exercise some demons.
He was so surprised he wasn't in the drop zone.
I've never been here. What do I do?
If you're not 4-under right now, you're not even trying, apparently, by the way. I mean, look at these names. Here's a four-way tie for the lead. Justin Rose, Francesco Molinari, Cameron Tringali, and Will Wilcox. Then in the group one shot off, Baddeley, we mentioned Gary Woodland is in there. Ernie Els is in there. J.B. Holmes is in there. Bill Haas, Daniel Berger. I mean, some of the best and hottest names out there are dotting the leaderboard in the early going. And it's been a quiet morning so far for Jordan Spieth. He's 1-under, but that qualifies as quiet. Your boy Sned's at 1-under par. Mickelson's at 2-under in the early going.
Yeah, that leaderboard, it says exactly what we're talking about. When you have a J.B. Holmes at one off the lead and a Francesco Molinari in the lead, completely different players. You know, Molinari is your guy that can hit it 270 in a Pringles can every single time, as accurate as they can be. And then J.B. Holmes is grip it and rip it, hit it as far as you can, go find it, and hope you can find the green with a wedge. So good example of the fact that this course really doesn't favor a particular style of golfer.
We've talked about it all week and really last week as well. No parking on site. You cannot buy parking on
Correct.
Site. You have to get your parking
get
ahead
it in
of time.
Advance.
What's the way to get it? What's the best way to do it?
PlayersChampionship.com. Go
there
on the
go.
Website. The best thing you can do is carpool, because then you get it for free, four or more, and then you reduce the traffic coming in on A1A, which, as we know, gets backed up pretty quickly.
Do you need to print a certificate if you're bringing four or more? Do you need something?
Yes, you still got to go online and download it. And the reason is the tournament wants to know when we're full. If we don't know when we're full, then all of a sudden you create this logjam of parking. We need to know when we're sold out full. Then you got to find another way here. You got to Uber. You got to find somebody with a street sign that says parking here for free. You got to take the shuttles from the beach or the shuttle from downtown. One of those two ways. I would also suggest to everybody go the Nocatee way. You're just going to deal with a lot less traffic. If you can get in that way, that's the way to go. Come in 210.
You know, when we get pull up in our little coach in the media lot, they stop behind the building. Apparently the bus is allowed to roll right up here, though.
Yeah.
That'd be Jerome Bettis. What's Jerome doing out
he's
here?
He's out
today?
Here. I think he's out here with a company kind of promoting Stryker, which I think is kind of hip and knee replacement, which I'm sure he's had. A lot of the football players have. I know Hal Sutton and Fred Funk also deal with them. So he's rolling through it. We'll try to get him to come back here. I think he's scheduled to do 10-10 at some point.
You know what he should do? He should do a charity bowling event for you. He's a phenomenal bowler.
He's an unreal bowler.
Phenomenal bowler.
I could see you doing the little bus, you know, after you would get the first down shimmy
you
shake.
You think so? But that's just me trying to get back to my chair.
I see Dempsey doing that.
There's nothing in particular about that that gives me any credit. When you look at the conditions, I mean, you expect these guys to go low. What's the weekend weather forecast? I know tomorrow they said maybe a little bit of lightning in the afternoon, but didn't sound like necessarily anything that's going to keep guys from completing day two tomorrow. What are we looking for? Is the wind going to blow at all over the next 3 days?
Yeah, there's some thunderstorms scheduled tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, you know, mid-80s. I don't think the wind's going to blow too much. It might blow a little bit on Saturday. I think what you'll see is you'll see Friday and Saturday some progressively harder pin locations, tee boxes, and then they typically on Sunday like to give some scoring, you know, pins here and there. You'll have a couple hard ones, a couple scoring pins so that somebody has a chance and so that we keep it close coming into the final stretch on Sunday.
The conversation comes up every year going into the Players. This is a world-class golf tournament. It's also a world-class party for 6 days out here for this tournament as well. And the talk about fifth major, all that always, at some point the conversation starts. And I wonder, with this turn, as good as it is from a golf and just the fan experience out here, how much that would ever change. If it ever really did become the fifth major, could it be the party that it is right now and still hold that kind of status?
It's funny because you want to attract, you know, the non-golf fans. You want to attract and get the crowds bigger and make it an electric place to be, and that turns into more sponsors, and that turns into just a better atmosphere and more people coming to Jacksonville and Ponte Vedra from out of town. You want to do all those things. With that come people who aren't used to attending golf events. So you get some of the fan behavior issues. You get people yelling mashed potatoes right after they shoot. Or
big jam.
So with that, you want the people to be out here, but you also want to keep the etiquette and the fan behavior that golf is used to. It is a sport where players stand out of the way while other players hit. Players clap when other players make a putt, even if it's to beat them. You saw that with Jordan Spieth at the PGA last year. Jason Day drops a bomb, and he's clapping. So it's a different sport from that respect. So there's some education. And listen, this is how the players treat each other. Fans should probably do the same. Rejoice, chest bump, go crazy when there's a good shot. But maybe don't say you suck the way we do at football and baseball games and heckle the other players. But will it ever become a fifth major? Who knows? Probably not. Golf is so ingrained in the traditions. I think what's happening, though, is, and Jason Day said this, when there's a guy on the fringe of the Hall of Fame, you hear he has three majors and a Players, or he has a Masters and two Players championships. So it is ingrained in kind of how you judge a player's entire career. When people mention Sergio Garcia, you mentioned no majors, but he has won the Players championship. Or Adam Scott has won the Masters and he's won the Players. Tiger Woods has won 14 majors and two Players championships. So I think it's involved, and I think people understand that when you win here, you've beat the best field in golf. You've beat a course that is a major caliber course. But if it ever really becomes a major, I don't think they're as concerned about it as they used to be. I think they just let it stand on what it is, and it's one of the best sporting events, best golf tournaments of the season.
All right, before we make you get back to work here in a second, new amenities every year. What are you guys most proud of that you've added to the lineup this year?
The area that's behind 8 Green is a really cool grandstand area. It's called the William Hill Wine Lounge. The fact that it's a cool par 3, you can still get in there. You can do all the things you do at a good par 3, right? You can either bet dollar bills or you can bet on drinks, right? So you bet, people come through, you get two of your friends, who's going to be closest to the pin, and you have some fun with quarters or dollars, whatever it might be. I think the biggest thing this year, if you look at what you get with a stadium pass, which is they don't even call it a grounds general admission ticket anymore. They call it a stadium pass. But grounds ticket for the listeners here, you look at what you get with that. Compared to other sports, you get a general admission ticket in other sports, you're in the nosebleeds. You're barely, you got your binoculars to see the action. If you're not a golf fan, you get into all these locations: the Wine and Dine on 9, Trucks on 10, the Greenside Lounge, the Oasis where Blake Bortles played his ping pong yesterday, which is a great little.
How did that go, by the way?
He got waxed by Jeff Overton, but then he and Overton took on a couple guys who thought they were really good, and they waxed them.
Nice.
So as a team, they won the giant chocolate Peter Brook Trophy. Anyway, they basically, you can, as a golf, as not a fan of golf, you get into all these social locations. as a golf fan, you can get from me to you to the competition in certain places. There's no other sporting event where grounds admission tickets gets you the access that it does here, and I think they're proud of what they've built over the past 5-6 years.
Unless you're willing to get arrested. You go, sure. right right over the wall at third base and just have your moment. And
you could probably do that here. We saw the streaker at the President's Cup. I don't know if you guys remember
that.
That
wasn't Joe Coward, was it?
No, it was a female. She actually wasn't that looking, but she came running out naked on the golf course.
You know what?
I don't recommend doing that.
I do seem to recall that. Well, I don't recommend it. He can't recommend it. We do recommend it. No, we don't recommend that. Wink, wink. PGA Tour Director of Communications, Chris Reimer. Enjoy the week, man.
Yes.
You guys do a phenomenal job. We appreciate all the
See y'all out at the Benefactor tomorrow, so we'll have a better view for you tomorrow.
You
Thanks,
got it,
guys.
Buddy. There appreciate goes Chris Reimer. Let's get a leaderboard update, including somebody who just eagled to go into the lead. Back with This Date in Football next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, This Date in Football History.
All right, This Date in Football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Hey, we actually have something that happened on This Date in Football History. 1982, the formation of the United States Football League. They wouldn't let Trump into the NFL, so he joined the USFL, and now look at him. Just look at him now!
And was responsible for the ruination of the USFL, because he spearheaded the
He wanted to go head-to-head in the fall. You're absolutely right. But did he get a share of the $3 check? That's the only thing I need to know. I'm sure he used it wisely. Birthdays for the state, 1958, James Wilder, the original James Wilder. Didn't the Bucks let him carry it like 40 times one game?
I think so, yeah.
He, I believe, is one of the handful of guys that had over 400 carries in a season, if I'm not mistaken. I'll have to check that. But one-time Pro Bowler, and, of course, now his son toiling for, what, Cincinnati?
Yes.
I think it's where he came into the league with, anyway. 1975, born in the state. Rest in peace, or not, Lawrence Phillips. Not one of the exactly poster children for what the NFL wants to be. And recently, it's believed he took his life in his jail cell after allegedly murdering one of his bunkmates in prison after murdering someone to get into prison. So, hey, Lawrence Phillips had quite a run. Born in the state in 1979, the good Steve Smith, 5-time Pro Bowl wide receiver of the Carolina Panthers. He turns 37 years old today. Tyson Alualu, born in the state in 1987. So is Mike Yapati, the 4-time Pro Bowl interior offensive lineman. Jason Myers, Jaguars kicker, the bomber. Jason Myers is 25 years old today, born in this state in 1991. This Date in Football History brought to you by Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry on Gate Parkway. If you're in the market for a family dentist, if you need cosmetic work done, if you have a snore in the family, maybe it's you, check them out. 620-9225. Dr. McCall can help you out. Visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is This Date in Football History.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
New England Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman has undergone a second surgery on his injured left foot. Edelman is expected to be back and ready for training camp for the Patriots, but obviously that was an issue for him last season dealing with that foot injury. Seattle Seahawks wide receiver Ricardo Lockett is expected to announce his retirement today. Lockett suffered a serious neck injury in Week 8 against the Dallas Cowboys on a special teams play. He was unable to return to the field after that and is expected to announce that he is no longer going to be playing any NFL football. Later on today, the NFL Network announced the players list from 81 to 90 of the top 100 players.
People are talking.
People are talking.
Speculations out there.
Two Jaguars made that list. We'll hear from them here in just a moment. But here is the other guys who made the list. We haven't talked about much yet. Alex Smith came in at 81, the quarterback for Kansas City. Delanie Walker, apparently the only member of the Titans that is going to be on this list, came in at 82. Telvin Smith of the Jags at 83. Tamba Ali of Kansas City at 84. Kirk Cousins coming in at 85. Jonathan Stewart, the running back for Carolina, at 86. Julian Edelman, who we just mentioned a moment ago, at 87. Cameron Hayward, the defensive end for the Pittsburgh Steelers, at 88. Alan Hearns at 89. And Matt Forte comes in at number 90 on the list. We mentioned that Telvin Smith and Alan Hearns made that list last night, and they talked a little bit, reacted to it a little bit last night on the NFL Network.
Both of you guys went to the Combine 2014. You run the 40. okay? Oh, both of you ran the 40. Who ran the fastest 40, Telvin?
I know I had a fast 40. That's no question. I'm running. I'm faster than receivers in the league.
Hold on. So are we talking about track and field, or are we talking about football right now?
Football.
Alan, I'm talking about football. Who runs the fastest 40 now?
Huh? I'm still the fastest. I probably got faster. I'm probably 4-2 right now.
Stop it.
I'm probably running with Archer
there,
man.
That's an ego kicking there, but it's all good.
Gripping television.
Those two guys having a little bit of fun with it last night. Ryan O'Halloran hates the entire idea of the top 100 list, and that is the
Honda driver them separately.
The
Ryan O'Halloran hates blank. Fill it in, and you're probably right. You got about 10 things.
Did they really ask why Telvin fell to the fifth round? As if they didn't know why he fell.
I don't know. I didn't even catch that. I didn't.
I'll be honest with you. I was looking at the leaderboard, but if they did ask, oops on them. Yeah. It's the ganja that had him slide to the fifth round. By the way, right now, Justin Rose has gone eagle on 16, birdie on 17, birdie on 18. Made the turn as he started on the back nine. Birdied number one. He's at 6 under par, tied with Francesco Molinari at the top of the leaderboard. A bunch of big names on there. Ernie Els had eagled. Number two to move into a first place by himself momentarily at 6 under par, then turned around and bogeyed number three to fall a shot off the pace right now. Good leaderboard, great leaderboard right now. 16 golfers, many big names at 4 under or better, as we're joined now by the person that Ryan O'Halloran describes as the most valuable heel on the Helmets and Heels broadcast.
Let's not create any sort of turmoil.
What? Everyone is allowed to have their favorites, right? What's wrong with that?
That's very true. Ryan, you're definitely
allowed
to like.
Where's Blythe? I thought Blythe was with us. It's Lauren? It was Lauren all along. How did I get that wrong? Hello, Lauren Brooks.
Hi, Mike Dempsey.
How are you? How's everything?
When she walked in here. Mike Dempsey just melted.
I love Lauren Brooks.
It's hot out here. Favorites. Everybody's
that
melting.
That too.
What are you
I'm sweating
talking
like
about?
A pig.
It was a little stuffy.
They did turn the thermostat up today. No work for you for the night. You're just a golf observer.
We have baseball this weekend, so I decided since, you know, I hadn't really had last weekend any time off, I decided to take today and tomorrow off, so that way I'll work Saturday, Sunday, but get some golf in the next 2 days.
That's good. Get a little sun as well.
You're
dressed for it. Got the sleeveless going
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. Sleeveless, the shorts, but I do have a hat just in case.
You look like you've been getting some sun lately.
Yep, sitting out at baseball games, you will get,
is that what,
you'll get
is
some
that's
sun.
What's been doing it for you here?
If you saw me in my bathing suit, you'd see that I have a shorts tan.
LB, what have you guys been talking about on Helmets and Heels? In terms of the Jags, there's been plenty of reasons to be excited.
Absolutely. Of course, we talked about how pumped we all were for the draft. The time will tell. I'm going to completely remain realistic until they start playing football, because to me, there's still a lot of holes on the offensive line. There's pieces there, but we haven't seen anything. And we have a center who's never snapped the ball in the National Football League. So,
are you worried about him, though? I don't worry about Linder.
I'm a little concerned. It's not that I'm concerned about him for the entire year. I'm probably a little more concerned the first couple games. And then, of course, Blake Bortles last year had some issues, and I don't know that you can get better in the offseason as a quarterback. I think that you have to really go through the actual game. So I think he'll improve also as the offensive line improves, but I still think that'll be kind of later in the season, at least midway through. So I'm a little concerned that we start off some of those tough games in the beginning. I'm concerned that we start off not faring so well.
Well, in theory, there should be tough games all throughout, right? I mean, because we always look at schedules and we say, oh, well, this team has X easiest schedule, and then it doesn't turn out to be that way, you know? So Green Bay looks daunting because of Aaron Rodgers. Green Bay's not going undefeated this year, right? And really had a down year last year in large part because of the absence of Jordy Nelson. Jordy wants to take his time getting up to full speed. That would be okay, I think, with most Jaguar fans as well.
Like last week, Don Banks had a story on SI.com. Key game for every team they have to win. And hit Jaguars week one.
Week one. I think it is.
I agree.
Big, don't you?
I agree. Because
sets a tone for that first month of the season and really expectations, right? If they lose that, you're like, man, you got to go to San Diego, which has been a house of horrors, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, imagine how we beat the Panthers last year, game one.
Right. I don't know if it would have made a major difference in the final outcome, but, you know, this year I think the expectations are that much higher. And with the bye week coming as early as it does, they're really going to be judged on that first four-game record a lot because you're going to have 2 weeks to digest it at that point.
I mean, we never know. We've never seen a Gus coach team with momentum in September.
Right.
I mean, they won one game in three September, so get the opener.
That's awful.
They were red hot, though, at that point, going 1-1.
It's built.
The opener's key. I mean, hopefully a day like this, maybe 10 degrees hotter.
Right. That will take it.
Sweltering in those.
So let's get that indoor practice facility to negate our training advantage. LB, who do you like at the Players' Championship this week?
So I picked Sergio Garcia.
That's a solid choice.
Yeah, I had a strong inclination to pick Justin Rose.
Did you?
Then when I heard, I think Lamb picked him,
Lamb
right?
Took him
yeah,
yesterday.
So when I heard that Lamb picked him, I was like, all right, I'll stick with my Sergio. I want to, you know, not
jump
on the bandwagon.
Coattail somebody.
Although certainly Lamb knows some golf. So.
He does. It doesn't mean he's going to get it right. Doesn't mean Justin Rose, just because he's 6 under par through his first 10 holes or
I know. I heard you talking about it.
He's going to play well. It's like,
oh,
look, there's Justin Rose, another birdie. There's another birdie. There's another birdie. Huh?
Yep.
Traffic update.
So I got here, I left my house around 10 in Atlantic Beach, and I got here smoothly, absolutely no traffic. The only time I had to wait was pulling into the lot, and I parked in general parking, so it was super easy. Amanda, I think, is on her way in now, and there's still no traffic. So still looking great out there.
Really?
I came A1A for the people going Nocatee. I assume that that's still Nocatee Parkway. It's still flying as well, but, of course, don't speed too much going over that bridge.
I know.
We must have got caught in the morning rush.
I
think a lot of people come out early. I know, like, when me and my dad would come out to the Players, we would be out here at 7:30.
Yeah.
You know, like, that was the idea on Thursday. We would come out at 7:30. We'd stick around until about 1 or 2, and then we'd get out of here so that we could go watch the rest of the tournament on TV that afternoon. I think a lot of people still do it that way. I think there's this massive group that comes early and this massive group that comes in starting about 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon to come party for the afternoon.
If they had to work half a day, then it makes the most sense where – you work, then you peace out.
Now, are you watching golf or are you partying?
No, today is a watch golf. I would like to walk the entire course if I have time. I mean, I have time, but I want to do the entire thing. I don't want to get too overheated. I feel like I'm not quite adjusted and acclimated to the heat yet. I want to be, but the first really hot day we had was last weekend.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'd like to walk the whole course today, and then tomorrow is when the whole family comes out. It's like herding a bunch of cats. You can't really get anyone to do anything at the same time. So that'll be a drinking fest and just enjoy, relax. And, you know, that'll be the fun day playing drinking games while the golf's going
on. Do you like
to
follow a group or are you just trying to see all the
holes?
I
do like to follow a group. It just depends on what time, you know, people are teeing off. Like, I'd love to follow Sergio, but he obviously doesn't tee off till a little bit later this afternoon. So.
And I imagine there'll be a bit of a group following Sergio, too.
I would imagine that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The ladies like Sergio.
But why that's shaking her head no, that the ladies do not like Sergio.
A lot of ladies like
Sergio. That guy said, go Jaguars.
Man.
We got the cut. Go Jaguars.
All right.
All right.
Yeah, you know, that's why they initiated that heckling rule is because last year so many people were bashing Sergio.
Go Jaguars.
There it is.
That's our boy. All right, LB. We'll have fun today.
Thanks so much.
Walking the course taking it in moderation. I don't know if I believe you 100%, but
y'all have so much fun today as well.
Enjoy not working, put it that way.
I absolutely will.
Enjoy the sunshine. You got perfect
weather.
Thanks
for having me, boys.
Lauren Brooks, the star of Helmets and Heels. At least that's what she tells us. I don't know. I don't know what that means for everyone else. Blythe, Donna, Amanda, and the whole crew. But that's how Lauren talks about herself. So that's how we're contractually obligated to present her. There you go. Lauren Brooks, star of Stage and Screen, and of all kinds of athletic pursuits as well. Taking her leave. She can't get away from me quickly enough. We'll come back. David Lamb's going to stop by. He's very happy with himself right now because Justin Rose is 6 under par. Although Francesco may be making a move on him. We'll get an update. We got Ryan O'Halloran here. We got Fat Tony here. I'm Mike Dempsey. Jaguars today. Question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships is this. Which Jag will make the biggest on-field leap in their performance? Which returning Jaguar, one who played for the team last year, takes the biggest step forward in their play in 2016? You can weigh in on Twitter, on Facebook, on the text line, whatever you like. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's built.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
It may just be built this time around. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran here with you, of course, from the Florida Times Union. Ryan on Twitter, at Ryan O'Halloran. And you can tweet us this morning. Question of the day, responses. We're looking for which Jaguar, returning Jaguar in 2016, makes the biggest on-field leap in their play, biggest improvement in their play in 2016. Weigh in on Twitter, Facebook, you know, all the various outlets. David Lamb is a happy man because he gets to spend time with Ryan O'Halloran, but he's also happy because Justin Rose currently is tied for the lead, and that was his pick to win the Players' Championship, Dave, 7 under par, and he went, if I'm not mistaken, eagle on 16, birdie on 17, birdie on 18, made the turn birdie on 1 and 2. That's a pretty good five-hole stretch right there.
You know, just like you three are just these wonderful football experts.
Is that right?
I'm a golf expert.
So. Are you?
I have that insight that a few have. No, they're tearing it up. And by the way, that's not unexpected. They talked all week about the course was soft. Well, a course that's soft and with no wind, which there is none today, they're going to shoot good scores. I don't care. You can't make the course more difficult enough to get them down. There's rain forecast for tomorrow afternoon. The players will love that because it will keep the course soft. But if we avoid the rain, it's pretty much like the tournament wants it. It'll get faster and faster each day, and the scores will go up and up and up each day. And Sunday, par will probably be a good score. But right now, they're tearing it up.
Spieth is one of those guys not scoring so far, even through 9. What's your take in your experience, a guy who doesn't play for a month? And this is a big tournament. Is it take him around to get in the gear?
I really don't think so. I think, you know, talking about a player having rust or not, you know, it really sort of goes with the individual player. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, over the years we've seen players that don't want to play the week before a major, for example. Nicklaus never played before a major. By the same token, Phil Mickelson always felt like he was better off to play the week before a major. So I think it's individual how you feel. You know, when these guys don't play, and even when they say, I haven't touched my club for a month, don't believe that. Mm-hmm. They've beaten balls, and, I mean, they don't just ignore the game at this time of the year. Now, they might, during the winter, take that month away from the game, but they're not going to take it off at this time of the year. You know, Spieth right now, he's just not making putts. Mm-hmm. And the truth of the matter is, his game is not exceptional other than his putting. It's everything is really good.
Solid, right, all around.
But there's nothing that, you know, that's exceptional about it. So if he's not making putts, you know, and there's an old line in golf that pros who putt for pars are like dogs chasing cars. There's not a good end to it.
I've never heard that before. It's pretty good.
And Spieth has basically been such an unbelievable putter in the first part of his year that on days, well, we saw it in the Masters until he finally blew it up. He was leading the Masters by 5 shots, mainly because he was making all the 10-footers and 12-footers, and, you know, but he wasn't playing very well. So I think he will get in gear. He's a great player. I don't think there's any question about that. And he's driven.
18 guys, 4 under par or better right now. And Rose is the only guy at the top of the leaderboard at 7 under. Molinari just had a bogey on his card. So Justin Rose with a 1-shot lead. Right now, guys, let's talk a little Jags while we've got this quartet together, maybe for the first time ever on Jaguars today. Bill Barnwell at ESPN. Not always the most flattering to the Jaguars, but he's doing a division-by-division grading of the overall offseason for every team in the NFL.
Right.
And today is AFC South Day. And everyone fared pretty well in the division. Houston, Indy, and Tennessee all got B grades, and the Jags got a B+. And the big knock, I guess my criticism of it, you're looking for something to knock, right? And let's go around the table. What's the biggest knock? What's the biggest thing the Jags failed to do or did wrong so far this offseason, in your opinion, Ryan?
Well, I still think there's two issues. One on each side of the ball is, where is the pass rush going to come from?
Okay.
Unproven guys. And also, in the interior of offensive line, they finally have announced Linder moving to center. How solid is that interior group? Because that's what they pinpointed, was that Blake was getting too much pressure through the middle.
Okay. Dave?
Well, first, I think one reason the AFC South teams all get a pretty good grade is, by and large, they were all pretty bad. So but basically going up was pretty much the only direction they could go. I agree with Ryan. You know, the one thing, they still don't have a player on their roster who is a proven pass rusher. They don't have that player who has consistently over 2 or 3 or 4 years, you know, been effective. So
let me ask you this. In your opinion, was it a failure to not be able to land Olivier Vernon at any cost?
Well, they wanted him, so obviously you have to say it was a failure. But I don't think not getting him is a crushing blow. You don't get everybody you go after. And Malik Jackson obviously comes in as a big help. Dante Fowler, the fact that he was the number 3 overall pick. It's amazing to me. They're like recruits. You get that 5-star recruit. If he doesn't become a star immediately, he's almost forgotten about and almost considered a failure. Look at it this way. Here's what the Jaguars will have going into this season. The number 3 overall pick in the draft, the number 5 overall pick in the draft, and a guy who should have been a top 5, but they somehow got him at 36. So they've got 3 guys that they've probably evaluated as top 5 players basically joining this team. Nobody's ever had that, I wouldn't think, in the history of the league, to have that kind of potential talent all of a sudden be
in
first.
One offseason.
And then when you throw in, I think the guy that's been forgotten in all of this, I think I said it yesterday, Gibson. I think he is going to make as big an impact as among the newcomers. That's a position they really needed, and he's the guy with a proven track record of being able to make plays, create great situations. I thought that was a wonderful signing. I was thrilled to death. I thought that was better than Jackson, to be honest with you, because they've got where Jackson plays, they've got some pretty good proven talent. Now, Marks has got to stay healthy, but they're pretty good in that interior line. We know how bad they were at safety, and to get Gibson to come in, I thought was a great signing.
Tony, biggest failure or, something they came up short in doing?
I don't know. And I felt like going into the draft, the frustration with the team not being able to sign Vernon and then not being able to sign Ayers, and you felt like 0-for-2. This team swinging to go get that pass rusher, they were 0-for-2. And then, right before the draft basically gets going, Josh Norman becomes available in free agency. And it's like, well, they don't really go as hard after him as I think a lot of people would have liked. So it feels like they're kind of 0-for-3 with these guys, right? These big difference-making guys at positions of need for this football team. And then they get Ramsey in the draft, which for me takes the sting out of not getting Norman, right? I don't know if I still agree with how much they did or didn't go after Norman, but it takes the sting out of not getting Norman when they get Ramsey in the draft. They get Jack. They bring in all these young guys. If they missed on anything to me, it's having that veteran guy to help Dante Fowler at that pass rush position to kind of lead him into it a little bit. But the guy is supposed to be the man. I mean, you draft him at number 3 right to be the man, so he needs to be the man for this football team. I had wished they had somebody else that they could kind of split that with a little bit. They got a bunch of young bodies at a position that was just terrible for them last season. So if there is a miss, that's it. But I don't think it's a big miss based on what they did get done.
And, Ryan, from what we're hearing and just seeing Dante around the facility, I think they're happy with the shape he's in and are expecting, cautiously optimistic for maybe a big rookie season, if you want to call it a rookie season out of him.
Yeah, and I'm going to call it a rookie season because he hasn't played. But, the logistics of it is not. But, I mean, what's going to be fascinating and interesting is when OTA start. Yeah, they're just out there, but how much do they feel comfortable? Do they feel he can go every day? During the camp before the preseason game starts, will he need a vet's day off? So I think they'll be conservative with him. I think they'll be conservative with Jack. But those are the two guys with Ramsey. If they can emerge, they can be a functional defense. I think Vernon was the big miss because, like Tony said, they never expressed interest in Norman. They didn't make it. They made a play for
Minimal
Vernon.
Minimal interest,
yeah,
right.
They made a play for Vernon, and it wouldn't have impacted any of their other plans because an hour after they missed on Vernon, they had Gibson in the fold. So add Vernon to everything they've done, then they would have gotten an A.
Yeah, it would have been phenomenal. I personally, for me, I don't consider it a miss because, again, we've discussed this, and, we can look at it different ways. I think they offered more than they were expecting to offer. You can only go so far with the guy. Clearly had an inclination he wanted to play under the bright lights of New York City, and so be it. So for me, I'd rather have seen them go against or try to get Alex Mack and then just leave Brandon Linder at guard, and I think they could have had a really exceptional offensive line this year. Maybe they still will. Maybe Bernadeau or whoever they end up playing left guard will work out, and Linder will make a smooth transition to center. But I would have liked to have seen Mack come in, the guy that they signed 2 years ago to that offer sheet, play the next couple of years, develop these young guys, let Linder and Can dominate at the guard spots with Parnell and let the competition play out at left tackle. We'll tell you where Bill Barnwell thinks they messed up when we return in a moment. We'll come back. take a look at the fan feedback spotlight. David Lemon, go hang out for a few minutes, as well as Justin Rose at the top of the leaderboard. Dave's
sure,
good
yeah.
to hang with us for the next few minutes, and that's where he stands right now. Jack O'Brien's going to have a leaderboard update coming up for you. We will come back with the fan feedback question of the day, asking you which returning Jaguar makes the biggest on-field improvement in 2016 with Ryan O'Halloran, with David Lamb, with Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today live at the Players on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
It's all over. The spell has been broken. Justin Rose has bogeyed.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's over, David.
Oh, no.
The glorious storyline.
Which hole did he bogey?
He bogeyed number four, which
That's a bad hole to bogey because that's one of the easier holes.
For the pros, it is. For me, it's one of the toughest holes. I think it's one of the toughest holes for the amateurs on this course.
No, I agree with that. But as the pros have played
Understood.
It over 35 years,
they're good.
It's probably one of the
that's
five
the
or
difference.
Six easiest holes.
Yes. You're probably right, but he did bogey it today. He drove it right of the bunker, which is tough to do and keep it dry on number four. But regardless, he's in a tie for first place. Cameron Tringali, Hudson Swafford, Justin Rose all at six under par at the Players' Championship 2016 edition. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony, David Lamb, Jordan DeArmond is here. And I'll say, Jordan did a terrific job producing in Tyler's absence. She wears the little red dress better than Tyler, too. Tyler's cute in the little red dress, but I think Jordan does a better job of it. She'll be out at the perch today lining up some. That's the area that the guys come to for their post-round press conferences, lining up some guests, no doubt, for the midday chalk coming off. What are you giggling about?
The people that we have work at the perch. They're always cute little girls in sundresses to go get the players. Like they would never ask you or I to go do it.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, no.
The players won't even give us any attention.
They're going to put us out in public today, Dave. They thought they took a look at me and they said, back to the media center with you. Is
I
where
thought
you're
you
going
were chuckling because you wanted to know where Dempsey had seen Tyler hanging out in a little red dress. But I don't want to know the answer to that. Or
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Things got crazy at the Super Bowl. Things got a little crazy.
Yeah,
out there.
You know what? Shh. Keep that under wraps. All right. Looking quickly, we're talking about what the Jags failed to do this offseason. And, you know, it's a relative thing. They did a tremendous job, we think, for the most part. But Bill Barnwell of ESPN, writing his story, said what went wrong for the Jags, said that they overpaid Chris Ivory. If that's your biggest criticism.
That's a nitpick.
Isn't that a nitpick? Right? They gave him a massive deal. He has $10 million guaranteed in the deal. $2 million salary this year. I think a $4.5 million salary next year. So part of next year is guaranteed. I think he got a $5 million signing bonus in the deal. So $7 million paid out this year, but his actual salary is only $2 million. Look at it as like a two-year, $10 million deal. The Jags have all the cap space they need. I don't see why this is a hindrance to anything they want to do.
Well, it's all relative to the cap space. If you're really tight with the salary cap, then they might have overpaid him. But if you've got plenty of money, then he's not overpaid. That's the way I look at it. You know, it's not going to impact them from signing somebody else because they don't have the money under the cap. So, you know, do it. Like I said yesterday, though, the one thing that surprised me when they signed him, I think they gave him the money they gave him tells me that they have some kind of issue with Yeldon. That, you know, they needed a second running back. I don't question that. But I think they did pay him enough that would indicate that there's something about Yeldon that they're not sold on.
Brian, you buying that? Or
I think maybe there's a little confidence there. I mean, you can the cap space allowed them to pay for Ivory, but also because Yeldon's working on a second-round deal. So you can manage it that way.
And Dave Caldwell has talked about that. We've got two guys for X at the position, right?
Yeah, and I think what they're more concerned about with Yeldon is backs break down. And he could miss a game here with a hamstring. He could, you know, have a turf toe one week. And Denard Robinson is not the answer anymore.
So, wasn't last year.
So you have a luxury of finding a 1,000-yard rusher who's available. You up the ante a little bit, and you bring him in. Because they feel if they're better, they'll run it more, and they'll need two tailbacks. And they entered the offseason with just one, as David said, who may have an asterisk next to his name.
Right.
Don't you think, though, Ivory expects be the number one guy.
But
a lot of times if you've got an established number one and you bring in somebody else, you know, you always hear them say, well, my job is to compete and to be ready to help this team. I got the sense talking with Ivory that he was told, hey, you come in here, you can be the number one guy. You can get the 15 carries, and the other guy will get the 8 or 9. That you're not coming in here just to be his backup.
Well, and I think TJ is going to be their main guy on third down because that's not on Ivory's
resume.
In terms
of catching passes,
catching passes,
right.
Protecting. So I think TJ has a role in this team, but you know I think it's going to be also a hot hand thing.
Look, last year Ivory had the most carries of his career, is just over 200. Mm-hmm. So if both of these guys land somewhere between 180 and 210 this year, you've got your front two guys and whatever distribution that it ends up with, not counting whatever passes they may catch. I think Ivory, at least unless he proves he's ineffective at it, is going to be your short yardage guy. And like Ryan said, Yeldon's likely your third down guy in situations where you're going to throw the ball to the back out of the backfield. And hopefully they can coexist. I'm sure they can. You know, I want Chris Ivory to come in here with the attitude that he's going to be the starter on this football team.
Isn't it kind of mystifying, though, everything you hear about Ivory, downhill runner, power runner, short yardage runner, and I'm pretty sure it was one of the 28,000 statistics that Ryan has written about in the Times Union, that last year
wasn't great at it.
That you know, something like 20 times with 1 or 2 yards to go, third one or whatever, he only succeeded once or twice.
Yeah, the percentage wasn't great.
It was horrible.
Yeah, because like you leave that press conference and all you're hearing about third and one, punch it in, goal line in London, he's going to be our guy. Well, then all I remember about Chris Ivory was 24 carries for 26 yards against the Jaguar defense.
Right.
So, I mean, they had a pretty good line, but I mean, he gets yards after contact. But I mean, they felt he was a lot better option than some of the other guys.
Look, their running game when Yeldon went out last year was non-existent.
Sure.
Non-existent. So now they have a suitable guy in there. No matter what they paid him, it's not breaking the bank. Tony,
Does Robinson stay? Does he make the team?
I think he does because I think he's a favorite of the general manager.
Okay.
I think he would make it as a kick returner.
Okay.
But if you like Corey Grant as that speed option,
right?
Do you have room for 4 tailbacks?
I think they do.
Yeah.
I think they do. Now again, we'll see when they get into the numbers game. 3 leaves you potentially pretty thin. I think Denard would find a home pretty quickly in the National Football League. So I do think he, right now, I agree with you, I think he makes a team. Fan feedback question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealership. Stoney, we asked which Jag who played here last year will make the biggest on-field leap in 2016. Give us some of the feedback that we got, please.
From Frank, we got Fowler, if eligible. If not, Jokel surprises fans, beats out Beecham, and it's no longer a liability.
Was that from at L. Jokel?
No, it was not. From Richard, we got Jason Myers, nowhere to go but up. From Kurt Thurley, expected Bortles to cut down on the interceptions this season, so that's his pick. From Colby, Cyprian, as he finally has legitimate free safety behind him. We got a lot of sip in this answer. From Duval Doom, hopefully it's Blake, make the NFL, quote, believe in him. From Brosif, we got hopefully Cyprian, see what he can do with some better pieces around him. From Brian, trick question, could only be Dante Fowler, nowhere to go but up, hashtag steal the show. From Chris, I think Dante Fowler Jr. will take the biggest step. From Ocho, Julius Thomas. From Cristiano, Julius Thomas. From Jag Fam, we got TJ Yeldon should be fully healed and rested, only able to play in 12 games last year. From Brian, since Dante doesn't count, I'll go off the board and go sample. He beats Sip for the start and owns the box. From Irish Jaguar, Blake will become more consistently good, cut down on the interceptions, take better control of tight games. From Cody, Julius Thomas. From Isaiah, Marquise Lee, and Rashad Green. From Eric, I'm sure everyone is saying it, but I want it to be Bortles, so close to being really, really good. From Foxtrot, we got Brandon Linder. From Jarrell, I'm really excited about Yeldon, year one to year two theory. From Black Dog, Jokel, if he can evolve into a mean, nasty, no more Mr. Nice guy. Hashtag Luke, go to the dark side. And from Ian, Jonathan Cyprian, the offseason addition should benefit him the most.
All right, here's some that were mentioned on Facebook. I'm not going to go through all the names and how many times they were mentioned. Devon House, Julius Thomas, Jason Myers, Marquise Lee, Jonathan Cyprian, Blake Bortles, Jokel, Colvin. Who else am I missing here? Thomas again, Rashad Green, Jonathan Cyprian, TJ Yeldon. So a lot of candidates certainly out there. And there are a lot of people on Facebook saying, I hope so-and-so breaks out. We're asking more who you think, but that's okay. I know that's going to happen. Listen to Ryan. He'll tell you who he knows. At Ryan O'Halloran on Twitter. You're taking the day off. Rare one for you. Relax and enjoy the golf tournament, what have you. What do you have coming up in terms of coverage in the Times Union?
Well, obviously a lot of golf this week. We'll have our regular NFL Jaguars package on Sunday, but I just want a promo starting next week. I talked to the position coach or coordinator of all seven draft picks at their colleges. So we're going to run those Q&As. So I end up talking to Jimbo, but talked to Miles Jack's linebackers coach, Ngakoue's defensive line coach, just to get a vision and what they did as college players. So I think I found it interesting, so hopefully the readers will do.
I like it. Sounds good. All right, Dave, appreciate you stopping by. I'll probably see you out here tomorrow. I know you're going to be around all day.
I'll be around all week. Tony and I, Saturday, going to do 4 hours together.
Nice.
From noon until 4. I'm surprised nobody mentioned Telvin Smith as a Jaguar who will make the biggest leap.
Oh, they've already got him in the top 100, so he doesn't need to make a big leap, apparently.
Well, yes,
anymore.
He does.
Tony, you got updates coming up this afternoon.
I do,
starting
yes.
at 1 o'clock, so we'll be listening for those. That's going to do it for us, for Ryan O'Halloran, for David Lamb, for Lauren Brooks, for Chris Reimer, and for Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato. I'm wrapping things up here. I'm Mike Dempsey along with Fat Tony here. Justin Rose and Jason Day among your leaders at 600. We'll get a full leaderboard update right now from Jack O'Brien at the TPC Sawgrass Media Center.
You guys have a good day. Peace.